Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Path to Piety 2012 at Masjid Darul Salam, Toronto, Canada. Saturday at 3:10 p.m., 7th of April 2012. The place and time to send Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was chosen by Allah. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took care of his enemies as well. The speech is presented by Imam Tahir Anwar Shahib Damat Barakatuhu.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. I begin in the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. I bear witness that there is none worthy of worship except Allah, and that His beloved Nabi and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is His last and final messenger. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa taala, asking Allah subhanahu wa taala for His help, His protection, His mercy, His blessings, His sustenance. And praying and begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst the most successful individuals both in this life and the hereafter. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. If you recall yesterday when I began, I mentioned that I received a phone call. How many of you were here last night? How many of you were paying attention? Okay, if you recall, I mentioned that there was a young man that was not feeling well, and I received a phone call. As of about 4 hours ago, this 10-year-old child has passed away. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may He subhanahu wa ta'ala grant sabr to the parents and to the family. It's not easy losing your child. And I was fairly affected this morning simply because I know this family very well and I know this young child very well because he and my child are in the same class. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them with khair inshaAllah. The second thing I want to mention before I begin today was, yesterday I was mentioning the difference of opinion that Umar radiallahu anhu had with Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. It should be very clear to every single one of us that this difference of opinion that Umar radiallahu anhu had with Khalid radiallahu anhu was not a personal difference of opinion. Right? It wasn't like he held a grudge against Khalid, like, I just don't like you, or I'm jealous. These are Sahaba. These are the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These are the most perfect individuals that ever lived. And if there were any differences that they had with each other, they were fundamental differences. There were certain things that Khalid radiallahu anhu did that were in line with the Quran and Sunnah and the Sharia of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was nothing that he was doing that was doubtful, let alone, you know, being anything else. But Umar radiallahu anhu, his style happened to be different. Right? His style happened to be different. So when he became a caliph, when he became a khalifa, and Khalid radiallahu anhu was removed from his position, it wasn't like Umar radiallahu anhu was waiting to become the khalifa, that I can't wait to become the khalifa. You know what we have in our modern day masjid boards? Tu batum president banu pachidane bataun. None of that stuff. Right? He was waiting. Not that he was waiting. It just so happened that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu passed away. Umar radiallahu anhu became the Khalifa. Of course, some of the greater issues that were happening at this time were that the Muslim armies happened to be on the war front. And one of the greater things, in fact, one of the greatest achievements of Umar radiallahu anhu happened to be the fact that, you know, they conquered these various different Muslim lands. And as they were doing this conquering, of course, the greatest person the person in charge of that happens to be the commander in chief. And Umar radiallahu anhu disagreed with some of the methods of Khalid radiallahu anhu. And he, in his wisdom that was given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asked for Khalid radiallahu anhu to be replaced. And it was because of the fact, I mentioned this yesterday, Khalid was very strong radiallahu anhu. But it was because Umar radiallahu anhu himself was sincere. Right? No personal grudges. This is not about personal grudges. But he was sincere. He had a valid reason in his mind and heart for which he made this decision. That because of that sincerity, even when Khalid radiallahu anhu received this message, Khalid radiallahu anhu, he didn't argue. He walked away. That's why it's very important that when we, in our day-to-day affairs, that we are sincere in everything that we do. Because if we are sincere, what we say comes from the heart, will go to the heart. And if you're insincere, if you're not sincere, then, you know, I don't have to spell that out for you, or do I? خير. So I just wanted to clarify that, you know, we have to be very, very clear about that. Today I've been asked to speak about, or I'm supposed to be speaking about the companions, the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, and their diversity. Right? Their diversity. And again, this is something I briefly touched on yesterday, that, you know, we think of the Sahaba, I mean, these are the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we've heard of all the names of the various different Sahaba, and sometimes we feel that they were all of one nation, one tribe, that they were all from one family, right? This is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina Munawwara, so they're all probably Arabs, or they're all from the tribe of Quraysh, or, you know, maybe if anything, you had the Qurayshis, the Muhajireen, and then the Ansar, and these were the only, and, you know, it was like, for a lack of better, you know, it's just two different tribes, you know, just, and they just kind of got together. And some of us, sometimes that's how we feel, because we haven't understood, you know, the actual environment of what happened at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in the Quran. And this is not an ayah that is, you know, we know this ayah, Ya ayyuhan nas. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhan nas, O mankind, inna khalaqnakum. You've been created. You've been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Min dhakarin wa untha. Right? You're males and females. These are just your genders. You have the same responsibilities. You have the same rights. Right? You just happen to be created differently. You're male and female. Dhakarin wa untha. Wa ja'alnakum shu'uban. You've been created into tribes, into different tribes of people, وَقَبَائِلْ, tribes, different kinds of people, لِتَعَارَفُوا. And the only reason you've been created differently is so that you can recognize each other, so that you're referred to. You know, imagine going to the store and having one kind of candy. Just imagine like having the same chocolate. Right? You'd get bored after a while. You know, you need a little bit of this, sometimes you need this, sometimes you need Timbits. Right? You need, it keeps the flavor, it keeps things alive. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us differently so that we learn from each other, so that we get to know each other, so that humanity is not something that's extremely boring. Right? And this is the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people are dark, some people are not. Some people are tall, others are not. Some are good looking, others are good looking. Right? I mean, you have to understand this. This is the way, this is the method of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of all the miracles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the amazing miracles is that no two individuals look the same. Unless you're twins and you just can't tell them apart. But no two individuals look the same. And this is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a very unique blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then it also happens that as humanity has been created, we're all human beings. Everyone, every person that you see on this earth is a human being. Right? You're a person. Two eyes, nose, hands. We're all humans. We weren't created in vain. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. We were created to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, it's not the sunnah of Allah to come to this earth. He would send angels. Right? Allah sent angels to certain messengers. These were people who conveyed the message to these messengers. These messengers came to humanity and they told humanity what to do. Right? Adam alayhi salatu wasalam came. He told humans, this is what you need to do. You need to worship Allah. This Allah created you. He happens to be one. This is how you worship Him. And then when humanity forgot a little, there was another prophet. And then there was another prophet. And prophets continued to come to the various different people on the face of this earth. Because humanity lived everywhere. Humanity, people lived everywhere. Different kinds of people lived in different parts of the world. Right? Places that you knew, places that you didn't know. But they came. These messengers came to guide people to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to the face of this earth, his job was to convey the message to the entire mankind. Which also means that you won't necessarily have people of the faith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the people who follow Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be of one culture, to be of one background, to be of one race, to be of one country. It was not meant to happen. That's not how Allah had decided for this to be. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came as a mercy to mankind. He was worried about everyone. Harisun alaykum. Harisun alaykum. Right? He desired for everyone to become Muslim. He just wanted you to have the best. He didn't care where you came from. He didn't care where you lived. He didn't care about how you dressed. He didn't care about how much money you had. Nothing, none of that. He just wanted you to say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. That's all he wanted, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to the face of this earth, it was through the will of Allah that Allah sent him to Arabia. Right? He could have come to any part of the world. Right? He came to Arabia. It's also the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah sent him down amongst individuals who had infighting. These were people who fought. Right? The amount of infighting that they had, there were no other examples prevalent or found at the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as they were found in Arabia at that given time. Of course, not to say that there weren't people who argued in wars and so on and so forth, but these were human beings who acted like animals, and in some cases even worse than animals. So it's very interesting if you look at how the environment in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came. Right? This is the environment. These are people who just kill, fight, you know, just kill and fight and do all these crazy things. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends a messenger to them. And this is Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes, Allah of course kept him pure, kept him free of all these diseases and all these things that were happening in the society. But when he became a prophet, his job was to bring the people together. His job was to bring the people together. And the first people that he was asked to bring together was his own tribe. People of his own tribe. And this bringing together was not on the basis, on the foundations of the fact that we're Quraysh. No. We're Arabs. No. We live in Mecca. No. We're businessmen. No. We're Gujaratis. No. You get what I'm saying? I mean, understand this. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's this infighting going on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has tasked him to bring them together. But he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought them together, and when he went out the first time and invited his family, his clan, his tribe, the people of his village, the people that spoke his language, it was to say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasulah. And taught us a very deep lesson. And that lesson is that our faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes before everything else. Our faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes before everything else. And this is what he rooted into his own clan and tribe, and made sure that this was so important that if you said Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, no matter what your background, you are my family. And if you are not able to say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, no matter what your background, even if you're from my family, I have no relations with you. Right? We have to understand this. I mean, yes, it's great. MashaAllah, subhanAllah, alhamdulillah. It's not about that. You gotta think about this. Like, how does this make sense in my life? Do I give prevalence, right, to individuals that believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Right? Is that what I do or not? Or does my family come first? When it's time for justice, you know, we talk about justice. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, وَلَوْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ اِعْدِلُوا وَلَوْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ. Right? You have to be just, even if it's against your own self. Right? There's lessons that we need to learn from all of this. That this justice that we have, this being kind, being fair, is it to humanity based on our faith, or is it based on, you know, people that we choose because of our backgrounds? You go to this masjid, you live in this neighborhood, so on and so forth. I'll back you. If not, I don't. Right? So, Nabi sallallahu alayhi, this is first, it's his family, the Quraysh. He invites them to Islam. They turn against him. They turn against him. There's very few that accept. But the few that did accept, they were good, strong people. They were good, strong individuals. They believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They believed in the message of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? A strong team. Few individuals. Few. There were very few. These were not the rich in the society. These were not the famous people in the society. In fact, most of them were the poor in the society. Right? Allah alayhi wa sallam mentions this. It's a very famous hadith. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَى صُوَرِكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't look at your faces. Allah doesn't care about what we look like. We're His creation. He created us. He doesn't care about what we look like. He doesn't care about how much wealth we have. It's His to begin with. He gave it all to us. Right? But what Allah does care about, right, is what's inside. وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَى قُلُوبِكُمْ. He looks at your hearts. And according to a narration, إِلَى أَعْمَالِكُمْ. Your deeds. Right? It's the heart. It's what's inside. And so, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prepares this team. You have to look at it this way. It's a team of individuals. The message gets conveyed. The message gets conveyed to individuals. And then, when people from different clans and tribes come to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wanting to know about Islam, becoming Muslims, the faith in their heart has become so strong that they're able to see beyond the lines of color, beyond the lines, beyond their differences, right? That because some of these tribes had been fighting each other for years, right? You would never see this part, this people on this side of town. You could never see that. You know, don't you come to my side of town. It ain't going to happen, right? It's not going to happen. But that's what they did. They were able to overcome their differences. And they were able to overcome their differences based on faith. And that's very important. And we have to understand what faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. We have to understand what this deen is. Because unfortunately, we are at a time in our lives where we use our faith to bring out differences. Where in reality, it's our faith that diminishes these differences. Right? Our faith diminishes these differences. We're not supposed to be... You're in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are believing men. We are believing women. Right? Doesn't matter who you are. As long as you say, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, you're welcome. You're welcome. And this is something that's going to take some time. For us, maybe. Right? For some of us, maybe it's going to take some time. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was able to do this successfully. Right? And there's so many examples that we find. And you know, the one thing that comes to mind is arrogance, right? And we know the verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن طِينٍ, right? You've created me from fire, right? You've created him from dirt. That's what shaitan said. That's what Iblis said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm created from fire. He's created from dirt. I'm more superior. Right? So think about this. The next time, you don't have to say this to anyone, but the next time, if we ever think about this, that I am from so-and-so background, I come from so-and-so clan, I come from so-and-so family, and you don't, you're doing exactly what Iblis did. Right? We're doing exactly what Iblis did. And Iblis was damned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're just following in those footsteps. Right? That's what it comes down to. And we think, again, we just think of this story of Iblis and Adam alayhi salatu wasalam that happened generations ago. It's a beautiful story in the Quran. And you know, if you're a hafidh of the Quran, it's the same story in 3-4 different places with all these mutashabihat and you get confused. That's all this story is for many individuals. Right? But it's not. It's beyond that. Right? It's arrogance. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did, that anyone that walked to him, saying, believing in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing in the fact that he was a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those differences went away. It didn't matter anymore. And then we have so many examples that, can be given from the individual who spent time with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you know, one of the greatest examples, and it's a great example, we love to give this example, but we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may that example come into our hearts. Right? May that example come to our hearts. That Bilal radiallahu anhu, he was a slave. This happens to be a society where they have slaves. Right? They have slaves. Like, that's okay. You have slaves. And the masters are superior. The slaves are inferior. You don't treat them with respect. You beat them. You make them do work. There's no fair labor laws. Right? You don't pay them. There's nothing. None of this stuff exists. Right? A slave is a slave. There's no method of ever freeing a slave. There's no method of being nice to us. It just doesn't exist in society. Right? When people talk about slavery, this is, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought justice to this. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through his teachings brought an end to slavery. You know, people talk about, you know, oh, Muslims, you have bondsmen, bondswomen, slaves, and so on and so forth. Our faith actually brought an end to this. Right? And not to say it's not permissible. That's not what we're discussing right now. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought this to society. And when a colored individual, a black man, right? A black man, it's even today, right? When you say there's derogatory terms for people of colored skin, be it in the English language, be it in your mother tongue, be it in Afrikaans, right? You know what I'm talking about. It's derogatory. In fact, if you don't like someone and they're not of color, you still use that term for them because it's a derogatory term. If you want to make someone feel bad, that's what you use. And that was the society. These were slaves. And what is this one person from amongst them comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and professes that there's no God but Allah. There's none worthy of worship except Allah. And that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger. And he gets beat. And he gets whipped. And he gets pulled. You know, he gets pulled left, right and center. But still he just says one, ahad, ahad. This was in his heart. He believed in this. How many of us sell our faith in the morning? How many of us sell our faith when we go to school? A, maybe hide the fact that we happen to be Muslims in certain cultures, right? So maybe your workplace, maybe amongst your friends, or just to be cool. You're like, yeah, no, it's cool. You know, you can, it's okay. You know, we sell our faith. We know it's wrong in our heart. You know what's wrong. You know smoking pot is haram. It's not allowed, right? You know consuming alcohol is not allowed. It's not okay. Right, but it's just kind of, it's okay. No, it begins with just saying it's okay, then just hanging out around people who drink or do pot, and then after a few months or a few years of hanging around, it's like, yeah, try this out. It's not that bad. Like, it's not like this guy goes crazy every time he drinks. Once in a while, maybe, but I won't do that much. Total chal hai. You know, no, think about this, right? And this person, he's being beat. And beat, and beat. But he still believes in one Allah. He won't sell his faith. He won't even tell them just to make them happy that Allah is not one. Just to make them happy. Islam allows that. Right? If Islam allows that. But not even to make them happy. He's a black slave. Black slaves. Comes into the fold of Islam. Becomes a Muslim. Beautiful story, right? How many blacks do we allow into our masjids? Ask yourself. Right? If a new person walks into your masjid, right, we kind of all look. Where'd he show up from? Who are you, brother? You sure you don't work for the government? Right? We get paranoid. No, honestly, it's very unfortunate when an individual says believes in Allah, we become brothers and sisters. That's brotherhood and sisterhood. That's what we've been taught. No, I understand, and I'm going to be real. Sometimes there are cultural differences in the methods and the ways that we grew up. And so yes, there are certain differences in the way we think, in the way we do certain things. But the person is a Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us brothers and sisters. That's what it comes down to. Whether you like it or not. This beautiful story of Bilal radiallahu anhu teaches us that. It's not some story way out there in the, you know, somewhere that we read, we, you know, the Imam Sahib speaks about, we say wah wah, and then we're done with it. Bilal had a beautiful voice. Right? Yeah, he was black too, in case you forgot. You know? That's what it's, subhanAllah, it's a beautiful story. Bilal radiallahu anhu becomes Muslim. He becomes he becomes one of the senior companions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That when the command of adhan, something as major as the adhan, even today, people find it an honor to call the adhan in your local masjid. Right? People, you know, if you have a good voice, you kind of come in the first row and hang around there. So maybe if Mufti Ibrahim sees you, he'll ask you to call the adhan. I don't know where you call the adhan in this masjid, but wherever it is. You kind of hang around, you know, I'm here just in case you haven't seen me. Oh, Assalamualaikum Mawsab, kamcha, how are you? That's not Assalamualaikum kamcha, that's Assalamualaikum Mawsab, I'm here just in case you want me to call the adhan for Maghrib today. You know what I'm saying? It's, and nothing wrong with that. It's honorable. It's big. And then here when this command comes, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks this slave, who was a slave, colored person, to stand up and call the adhan. To abolish this entire thought process of being racist. No such thing. Just call the adhan. Go. Bilal radiallahu anhu. And imagine what goes through people's minds. Like, wow, you call the adhan today, huh? Like, you're nokar cheto. You know, we have that. You know, no. Think about this. You, most of you, and I'm sorry for the non-Gujaratis here, but for those of you that come from Gamras in Gujarat, we have Dubra. Dubra no orkhe? Dera. That's what we call them, right? Dera, Dubra, whatever you call them. Right? That's how we've been treating them. We literally treat them like slaves. That's a different story. And we bloody deserve it too. But, you know, but think about it. We treat them like dirt. Treat them like dirt. Right? That's how we treat them. And then this person gets up to call the adhan. Right? That today when you walk into the... I happen to be in the Ulu Jami, the grand masjid of Bursa in Turkey, in southern Turkey, well, southwest Turkey. You have these... You go to masajid, Turkish masajid, and they have these beautiful stands for the adhan. Right? The muadhin climbs up to call the adhan. And then there's a beautiful, specifically in this masjid, I can show you pictures later if you want. On the wall, it has the hadith, Al-mu'adhinuna atwalun nasi a'naqan yawm al-qiyamah. Right? Beautiful. And then it says, Ya hadrat Bilal Habashi radiallahu anhu. Think about this. 1400 years later, I mean, of course, yeah, we still remember Bilal Habashi, Bilal the African, Bilal from Habasha, who called the adhan. Zayd ibn Haritha happens to be another example, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stands up and says, he's my son. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in ayah later on. But he stands up and he calls this colored person his son. Ayman radiallahu anha happened to be an African. Right? These are people. These are different people. Salman al-Farisi. Right? Salman al-Farisi was a white man. He's a white boy. Right? You have to understand. The reason I'm even saying, I don't mean to call him a white boy. Don't get me wrong. Don't start quoting me out of context. But Salman al-Farisi. Salman from Faris. Right? Color. Light-skinned person. Right? In today's day and age, if you happen to be living in certain hoods, in certain neighborhoods where you don't have people of a certain color, we have terms for all that. You call them white boys. Right? That's just the way you are. If you're Indians, you're Paki. Right? If you come from England and you're colored, you're a Paki. Doesn't matter if you're Indian, Pakistani, Bangladeshi, but you're Paki. We just call these people by these derogatory terms. Right? And Islam says we abolish these derogatory terms. There's no such thing as any derogatory term here. Salman al-Farisi, one of the greatest companions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was from elsewhere. Some Faris. Right? He comes to the gathering, he comes to Medina Munawwara, accepts Islam, makes Medina Munawwara his home. He didn't need no passport. He didn't need no passport. Right? He didn't need no citizenship to Medina Munawwara. This was Islam. He made Medina Munawwara his home. He learned from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He became family to everyone. All the Sahaba, Arab, non-Arab, old, young, Badri, you know, Ansari, wherever, where, no matter what you were, you became family based on that faith. Right? Based on that faith. And we need to think about this because some of us, immigrants, you know, we happen to be, by our nature, we just happen to be extremely racist individuals. And that's a reality. Right? It's just, you don't talk, no one wants to talk about this. No one wants to talk about this, but it's a reality. Right? We call other individuals by the lands they come from in derogatory methods. Oh, they're Indian, they're Pakistani, they're Bengali, they're Afghani, they're Americans. No, we gotta get over. Yes, I'm not saying that we don't have differences. We were raised in different parts of the world, in different methods. You have to acknowledge the fact that some people were raised in Muslim families, in Muslim environments, some in more traditional environments, other in less traditional environments. Many individuals were not even raised Muslims. There was no consciousness of cleanliness in the bathroom. There was no consciousness of respecting the elders. But Allah blessed them at some point in their life with iman. Are we going to hold the fact that maybe they weren't raised right or raised in a different part of the world, raised in a part of the world that we weren't raised in? Are we going to hold that against them? For how long? How long are we going to hold that against them? And do I have the ability to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when I stand in front of Allah on the Day of Judgment, and when He says you call someone by their derogatory, by their nation, by their tribe, do I have the answer for that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How am I going to answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Like, really think about it. Right? And there's so many people that when I come to the masjid, they're scared. There's a youngster I know, mashallah, like a good practicing Muslim brother. And you know, in many cases, he has a beard, so it makes him even more practicing of some people, but we won't go there. So he said that at around the age of 20, I already went there in case you didn't realize. He told me I was scared to go to the masjid. Right? A young Afghani man. He said, I was scared to go to the masjid for the longest time. So, you know, so like, why would you be scared to go to the masjid? Like, you got federal agents coming inside the masjid. You know what I'm saying? The government sending their people inside the masjid to spy on us. Why would you be scared? Like, you're all Muslim. He said that I was scared to go to the masjid because I felt that maybe if I walked into a masjid, someone would ask me the kalima. And I didn't know the kalima. Right? And I'm like, really? Not really that you didn't know the kalima. But really, like, you actually thought that people would do that inside the masjid? And then sometimes you actually go to certain masjids and you would imagine, like, you know, maybe they do this kind of stuff inside certain masjids. Right? He was scared. He was just plain scared. I told you the story of the young man yesterday, the Hindu who became a Muslim at my masjid. Right? Well, he had become a Muslim earlier. He was scared to come to the masjid. Now, of course, he culturally, it was different for him. He had lived his life in India, where Hindus and Muslims, by their nature, didn't get along. So he thought going to the masjid, he would get interrogated. When he came to the masjid, he realized no one even cares, which is kind of bad to begin with, but that's what it came down to. Like, he could just come in, do whatever he wants, and he self-proclaimed himself to be the muezzin of the masjid now. He calls the adhan at all the prayers at my masjid. You know, it's gonna take, some of these issues in ourselves are very deep rooted. Very deep rooted. And we need to start thinking about this. And we need to start thinking about this when we think and when we speak. That we have a pact in our community. Your community is a very beautiful community, mashallah. You're all good people. These kinds of programs don't happen in every part of the world. Right? And especially, even in Canada, right? I mean, look at the number of people that you happen to be on a Saturday afternoon at this masjid. It doesn't happen. Especially in North America, these kinds of things are very, very difficult. You're a good community. And the way we can all become better in our communities, maybe make a small pact. That anytime anyone, whether it be in our homes or in the masjid, says anything bad about someone, we're not gonna do it. I'm not gonna do it. And if someone does, I'm just gonna be silent. I'm not gonna ask you. Maybe it's difficult for you to walk away. It's your dad, your mom, your friend. It's difficult for you to walk away. Sign of disrespect, Right? So at least not participate in that conversation. Right? Make a pact. We all have to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. And this is what the Sahaba, this is what the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. When the ayahs of ghibah were revealed, that was it. It was done, period. You know, you're going to have Sheikh Abdul Nasir here tomorrow, and maybe I'll ask him to... He actually does this like 3-minute exercise on ghibah. And he actually makes you close your eyes and imagine that you have a brother who's dead and now you're biting into him. Like he has this exercise. He does this in public. Right? Think about it. And you just stop. Open our minds. Open our hearts. Bring people together. Right? That's our job, bringing people together. And that's why when people wanted to become Muslim, they were not scared to go to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When people decided to migrate to Medina Munawwara to learn from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were not scared to do so. They weren't. They didn't have to think twice. Like, oh my God, what am I going to do in that neighborhood? You know, how am I going to survive there? What will people say to me? Will people make fun of me? Will people make fun of my tribe? What will people say to me? None of that. When Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, as I mentioned last night, went to Medina Munawwara, he was not scared of anything. He knew that this was a welcoming people. If I become Muslim, they're going to become ecstatic. They're going to become happy. They're going to be very welcoming. They're going to let me through their doors, despite the fact that I've killed them. And not just one, not just two. I've killed many of them. I ambushed them. I killed them. I've worked against them. That my father happens to be one of their greatest enemies. He had no fear going to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And today, sometimes, let alone new Muslims, even as Muslims, we fear going to the masjid. Why? Because of, you're from this village, you're from that village, this difference, that difference, my family, your family, my brother, your sister, this, that, and the other. And we're scared to go to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why it's very interesting in the English language, in the Christian culture, the places of worship, you know, you have a church, right? A church is generally the larger building. And then within the church, you have the prayer area. One of the words that used for a prayer area is sanctuary. It's a sanctuary that when you enter, no matter who you are, no matter who you are, no matter what you believe, this is a place of God. This is a safe place. This is a place of aman. This is a place of hifadah. This is a place of protection. Not just physical, but verbal. No verbal abuses. No emotional abuse. No physical abuse. This is the house of Allah. Everyone is welcome. Everyone goes in. That's the community that we are. They learned that from Medina Munawwara. Right? They learned that from Medina Munawwara. Right? It's a sanctuary. It's a sanctuary. The Sahaba would come. They would pray. They would do what they want. And then they would go about their daily affairs. That we come to the masjid not to hang out, not to make fun of others, right? Not to, you know, call people bad names. We come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to smile at people. And it's human nature. Sometimes we don't get along with someone. I may not get along with you for a number of reasons. You may not get along with me for a number of reasons. So what? It's the house of Allah. Everyone's welcome here. And this is not specific to this masjid. This is everywhere. Everywhere. No matter. You only live in Canada until your rizq is destined. You will only live in Toronto until your rizq is destined here. Right? Many of you lived in different parts of the world. Your rizq was destined to be here. You came here. When your rizq is going to be elsewhere, you may move out elsewhere. That's the will of Allah. Right? It's not about communities. It's about an individual, myself. That I become a welcoming, open individual. That no matter which part of the world I go to, no matter where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes me, whether I'm in the masjid, whether I'm in my house, whether I'm at my place of work, no matter where I may be, I have this characteristic of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The characteristics of the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I'm an open and caring individual. That no matter what the person's color is, no matter what their background is, no matter what their difference is, you're welcome. That's why in the West, and this is a concept that of course the East hasn't grasped, but in the West there's a concept that's referred to, you agree to disagree. You've heard that before, right? You agree to we agree to the fact that we disagree about something. Right? We disagree. That's khair. Alhamdulillah. That's okay. We can disagree. Human beings were not created to agree on everything. On issues of halal, we must agree. On issues of haram, we must agree. Then there's a lot of other things that we may have disagreements about. Right? That's why when we take the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we look at the sahaba as a whole, you know, from outside the box, sort of. We look at them as a whole. They're one large, happy family. Right? The companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were one very large, happy family. But this large, happy family came from different parts of the world. And this is a blessing that we've been bestowed with in the West. Still today, in many parts of the world, when you go, no matter what your background is, when you go to your part of the world, everyone speaks the same language. They all eat the same food, right? Gari kichri. And then you all eat, most people generally just worship the same religion. You're not exposed to differences. You're not exposed to different kinds of people. Which is why sometimes when we do become exposed to things that are different, we sort of, you know, go in the defensive mode. Our guard goes up. Right? Our guard goes up. And then all of a sudden we start feeling that my way is the best way and your way is not any way. Right? It's human nature to do this. But we need to start coming out of this. For those individuals who have started calling Canada their home now, right? Passport to villa villa jaine le le hai. Don't worry, how did it get jaini? Chup chap thandi ma padi rahe passport le bahar uta. You know what I'm saying? Passport ke liye to 3 saal chup chap se theek baithe rahenge. Thandi ho, garmi ho, sab chal jayega. You know? And then we curse. We curse the people of this land. Right? We curse them. It's a reality. Right? All of a sudden, and we have to be conscious of this. That if we have called these lands our homes, there's a different method. Not to say we're not changing our faith. We're not changing the way of our aslaf, of our elders. Right? Our ulama, our teachers, our madaris, they still continue to guide us. May Allah reward and bless them. Right? May their shadows be with us for as long as we live. Right? May we be under their shadows. But keep in mind that things are going to have to be a little different. And the more open we are, the more we can teach others and the more we can learn from them. No one's the best. No one is ever the best. Don't ever think that I'm going to teach you my way. Right? Take someone under your wing. No, you learn from each other. We complement each other. So it is human nature that your guard goes up. It is human nature that all of a sudden you go on the defensive because you don't know the culture. Yet at the same time, we need to come out of these shells that we happen to be in slowly, with the guidance of our imams and our teachers and our ulama, and to be able to make that impact on the greater community. But that impact will only come. The Sahaba were able to impact the entire world. Right? I was in Turkey for 2.5 weeks last summer, and if Allah wills, I'll be there this summer, inshallah. But I got to pray the one Jum'ah, one of the Jum'ahs that I happened to pray there was at the Ayub Sultan Masjid. Ayub Sultan. Right? Who's Ayub Sultan? Abu Ayub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu. Right? They refer to him as Ayub Sultan. E-Y-U-P. Ayub Sultan. If you tell anyone if you tell a taxi driver Abu Ayub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, they just look at you like, what? You tell him Ayub Sultan. Ah, Ayub Sultan. Right? Abu Ayub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu. He travels all the way there. Right? Travel all the way there to propagate the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Well, that's what we're doing. We're propagating the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're propagating the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we need to keep in mind that this ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is made of different kinds of people. Different colors of people. And we need to be open. But as I was mentioning, the family came first. The greater family around Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they came first. Internally, they were solid. They were grounded. No one could shake them. They loved each other. They had differences of opinion, but they never put each other down. They didn't put each other down. If anyone went to Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, saying anything about Umar radiallahu anhu. He didn't join in on the conversation and started bad-mouthing. No. That was not the way they lived. That was not what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught them. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught them that if someone makes a mistake, you make an excuse for that person. To what? You make up to 70 excuses for that person. 70 excuses for that person. Just, it's okay. It's okay. Don't... and add, you know, things, you know, add the condiments to these conversations and make it grow. None of that happened. None of that existed. And so, yes, you know, this is a beautiful talk or whatever you want to say, beautiful conference. Oh, this sheikh did a good talk, that, this, that, and the other. It's not what it's going to come down to. It won't change until we change ourselves. And don't expect the other to change. Change yourself first. Open your mind. Open your heart. Right? If you see anything bad going on, don't become a part of it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam teaches us that. If someone is bad-mouthing others, keep your mouth shut. If someone is backbiting others, keep your mouth... that's, at least you can begin with that. At least you can begin with that. Right? And then we become the communities like the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens our hearts that when we do see people with differences and different actions, that we're able to accept it. No, keep in mind that as I was mentioning earlier, this ummah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was rahmatul lil alameen for the entire mankind, which means that Muslims live in every part of the world. And they also, like you and I, have been Muslims for generations. They also follow the Qur'an. They also follow the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? We may only, sometimes as human beings, we only focus on the wrongs that they do. If you want to see wrong, look at our own selves. Don't point fingers at others. Right? And we have to acknowledge the fact that there are different types of Muslims that live on this earth. That they are individuals that live on this earth, Muslims who do things differently, who have certain practices that happen to be different. Right? Don't badmouth them. Don't hurt them. Don't put them down. We are all on the way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're all on this path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And every single one of us will be in Jannah, inshaAllah. Us and them. Right? Us and them. But we have to acknowledge. Now, you and I have been taught a method and a way by our teachers, by our ulama. We adapt that. We accept that. We find guidance in that. Right? Why? Because it's a perfect method. It's a perfect model. It's been given to you. It's the entire tea. It's been made. They've put the sugar, honey, milk, whatever else. It's been given to you. It's the entire cup of tea. You can't take a little from here, a little from here, a little from here, and then try to put it all together and make it work. We have a perfect method. So when, as individuals, we follow the ways of our ulama. But when we see other Muslims doing things differently, we don't start bad-mouthing them. Right? Don't start pointing fingers at them. Right? Yes, they do things differently. We do things differently. Alhamdulillah. We're all believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. The only thing Allah will not forgive is shirk, associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything else, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive. So let's open our hearts. You know, and a lot of this stems from the fact that we have hard hearts, all of us. If it does. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that if you want to remove this condition of having a hard heart, pass your hand over the head of an orphan. This is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says. Pass your hand over the head of an orphan. Give in charity. Right? So the question is, do we want to change ourselves or do we want to continue going on the way we're going? That's what it comes down to. Right? Do we really want to change ourselves or do we want to continue the route that we are on? Right? And keep in mind that the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in happened to be of different colors. They all came. So when you see someone different in your masjid, say Alhamdulillah. That your masjid, that your Muslim gathering has become closer to that of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's gathering. Because our mosques back home in certain parts of the world, everyone, one culture, one language, one food, one everything. Right? And that's not how the Sahaba were. The Sahaba were diverse. So when we see diversity, we should be thankful. Say, Alhamdulillah, look, there's someone new that has come to our masjid. How can we bring more of new people into our masjid? How can we make it for you? Are if we happen to be the hosts, if we've been going to a certain masjid for years, how do we bring the different kinds of people into our masjid? How do we make our masajid friendly for them? How do we teach them the things that we have been taught by our teachers and our ulama? Right? Because we have an amazing deen given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We just need to share this with individuals around us. And so as I end, I just want to mention two things. First, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cared not only for his companions, but he cared for his enemies. He cared for his enemies. He cared about them. If something happened to them, he wanted to, you know, pay his respects. Passed away, pay his respect. Right? This was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Think for a moment. Who is someone you don't get along with? A lot of us probably don't have to go too far. Mama, kaka, you know, poi. Think someone you don't get along with. Now just try to imagine being nice to them. You can't, huh? That's where we need to go. That was what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught all of us. To be nice to people that we have differences of opinion with. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Qur'an, and we say this in our khutbah every Friday, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ, to be just. To be just. We'll be asked about this on the Day of Judgment. وَالْإِحْسَانِ, perfection. Perfection in everything that we do. وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى, and to give to the poor and needy. وَيَنْهَى, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to refrain from, عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ, profanity. Right? وَالْمُنْكَرِ, things that are forbidden. وَالْبَغْيَ, right? Vulm, oppression. These are things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, this is what you should do, these are things that you don't do. As long as you do this, you will become either perfect or very close to perfect individuals. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may He subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and protect us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease our affairs. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our hearts. Open our hearts to each other, for each other, and make room for people that are already in our hearts, and make room for people that we don't have in our hearts, just to be kind to them, to be nice to them, to bring our communities together. For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of our children, for the sake of individuals around us, and for our future generations to come. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen, bi rahmatika ya Arhamar Rahimeen.